to the Richard Nixon Experience.
The idea, Dan, that the taping mechanism was in place, the people that knew that, it was a very small group of people. I immediately thought this is going to be interesting. I did not know what would come of it. I will say this, and I cover this in my book, the tapes are going to end up perhaps being a blessing as time goes on, because the tapes, as we get into more and more of them, are starting to provide us material that is exculpatory for President Nixon. I mean, what happened with the prosecutors and when these tapes were put out, that they did these slices of the tapes, all of which shows the abuse of power and so forth, but they don't show the complete story of what was going on within the presidency and how some of the comments fit into context. So I think there's a lot of road to travel here. We're 50 years into it, but we're a long way from getting to all of the bottom level of what this thing was all about.
I just want to be sure to understand, as far as the president is concerned, everybody in this case is to talk and tell the truth.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of the Richard Nixon Experience. And this is a special show that I wanted to put together because when we did the first broadcast of Nixon and Watergate, there were things that I did not know or did not stumble on. And one of them is portions of a tape that I'm going to play for you here in just a few minutes. And I wanted to combine this special show with the episode we just ran, which was a 15-minute conversation between Henry Peterson, the Assistant Attorney General, and Richard Nixon, the President of the United States, about what's going on. And in it, of course, Henry Peterson is telling the President in detail what's going on in the case. And it's in April of 1973, and it's just before John Dean is going to turn on the President. And you will hear the President, you know, gathering information because you've got to remember something that people don't really realize, and that is that President Nixon didn't have a full picture of what was going on for almost 9 months after the break-in occurred. And he doesn't get a full update until John Dean does the famous Cancer on the Presidency tape. And we're going to, as this rebroadcast comes, you're going to get to listen to the entire hour and 20 minutes. And what you'll find is there's a lot of exculpatory stuff in there that these prosecutors cherry-picked out. And they picked out the worst moments. And the times when President Nixon is kind of mulling over all of his options, and they didn't let you listen to the more exculpatory moments. But we're going to let that tape play in its entirety, and you're going to hear a lot of these tapes as this our presentation, our seasons unfold. But I wanted to, right here, let you listen to some of the exculpatory stuff. This is not going to be a long show because, as I had said in the intro of the Richard Nixon Experience when we started to do this rebroadcast in the intro show, that we learned a lot as we were going through this, and then things came out that we did not know as we were doing the research, and some of which we came out after we had passed the point of being able to put it back in. So I wanted to add that here. In this show, one of the things you're going to hear a lot is how Richard Nixon hated Archibald Cox, and that he didn't trust Archibald Cox. He wanted him fired. A lot of that's true because of things that went on by Archibald Cox's staff as all this unfolds with the Watergate Special Prosecutors, and you'll see just how terrible this Watergate Special Prosecutor staff. In our show, we always called them the sinister force of Watergate. But I want you to listen to this tape. This is Alexander Haig informing President Nixon that Archibald Cox looks like he's going to be selected as the special prosecutor.
That's right. Pick and shovel political dirt, which that's what it is. Really all they have. That's right. And then we want them to know it, and they're going to take a lot of a responsibility in their hands in taking this on.
Exactly right.
They're going to indict some people. You know that.
Oh, yes. That's right.
For that time, Drew Richardson will have his prosecutor and all that horse.
I see you got a humdinger.
Who'd he get?
A fellow named Cox that used to be a solicitor general for Kennedy.
But he's very, very well respected.
Yes, conscientious.
I don't think he's too bad. Did he take him?
Well, they haven't endorsed him yet, but he's out, and it'll be hard for them not to.
Oh, Christ, if he asks Cox to do this, they can't turn Cox down, believe me.
No, I don't see how they can.
And Cox is not a mean man. He's a partisan, but not that mean.
That's right. That's the way the description I got. He's not a zealot.
Believe me, if he could, Cox, that'd be great.
Fine.
Now, what Richard Nixon didn't realize was that Archibald Cox, who had been the Solicitor General in the Kennedy administration, was basically going to bring in some people to reassemble the Get Hoffa Squad, which was Robert Kennedy's way of going after people. What they would do, instead of stumbling on a crime or investigating a crime and going after people who were criminals, that they knew were criminals, they said, hey, I want Jimmy Hoffa. You go find the crime, which is kind of how communists work. And so what Archibald Cox did was reassemble, and we'll show you as this unfolds. We go through a chart that we got from a gentleman named Jeff Shepard, who you're going to hear from here in a minute, that shows you how this Get Hoffa Squad that had been there in the 60s in the Kennedy administration and Johnson administration, how it was reassembled to make up the Watergate Special Prosecutor staff, and then they went in and just looked for anything and everything they could find, two-thirds of which never happened. But, you know, people don't know that as time goes by. And that's one of the real problems is that in real time, you don't know everything that's happening. And I want to go back in time a little bit to our previous show. We were talking about Henry Peterson and the long conversation where he's talking to President Nixon. Well, what you're getting ready to hear is a tape that I had never heard until the 50th anniversary of Watergate. And we were already a good ways through this broadcast. And it is a tape between President Nixon and Henry Peterson, in which Richard Nixon says, I want these people to step up and tell the truth. This tape has never been, you couldn't find it if you tried on YouTube or anywhere else, because it doesn't fit the narrative. And as we've shown you, the media has a narrative that they follow. But here is President Nixon doing that. And what you're going to hear Jeff Shepard explain is that the offer that President Nixon makes in this tape was never relayed to the lawyer for G. Gordon Liddy. And because of that, Liddy stayed silent during a good chunk of what was going on until he wrote his book. Mr. Shepard's going to explain all that. But it allowed these prosecutors to get on national TV and do what we used to say about Franklin Roosevelt was a terminological inexactitude. And this will just baffle you when you hear it.
Dean, I think I may be able to get him. I hope before he seems to be in transit from someplace to someplace. But I will. I'll report to you after I see him.
Very good.
Anyway, in the meantime, on Liddy, I don't know the man, of course, and have no control over him. But help, you are to tell him the president wants everybody involved in this to everything they know.
explosion happening April 15th of 1973, about 11 months before seven Nixon aides were indicted by a grand jury on charges of conspiracy on Watergate. What did you hear in that tape?
Well, this is one of 19 communications between Richard Nixon and Henry Peterson, the career head of the criminal division. And Nixon wants the truth to come out. And Gordon is following the code of silence, omerta. There's a really, really interesting development, because if Gordon had come clean, which he did in his book 10 years later, then John Dean couldn't have whipped up his fairy tale about non-involvement. Because Dean hired Liddy. It's on the tape. It's on the March 21st tape. But that tape you just played is perfect. Because months later, Nixon says on the air, I told him he should tell the truth, and I told him if he wanted to hear it directly from me, I would talk to him. And Peter Margolis, who was Liddy's lawyer, calls Phil Lacovara, the associate special prosecutor, and says, Henry Peterson never told us that. He never made that offer that we could come in and see the president. If he had, Liddy would have come clean.
Winebanks, Nixon wants the truth to come out. Is that what you heard on that tape?
It isn't what I heard on the tape, and it isn't what I heard in mounds of evidence and hours and hours and hours of tapes.
I mean, if you ever heard a terminological inexactitude ever spoken, that's one from Jill Winebanks. And she and Richard Benvenisti tell a lot of them. And that's what I want you to do, is you tune in and you listen to our rebroadcast here on the Richard Nixon experience of Nixon and Watergate. We're going to go through it all. And you're going to hear those prosecutors tell a whole lot of those kind of things. And you're going to hear about threats that were made. Alexander Haig's going to talk about how he was threatened by Richard Benvenisti. You're going to hear things that you have not heard because they don't fit the narrative of what the media and the press and these special prosecutors have been telling for a half a century. And I hope you'll tune in. There's a lot more of this to come. But as you can see, these tapes today are beginning to tell a different story. And you can put pieces together, like the fact that Henry Peterson didn't relay to G. Gordon Liddy's lawyer that the president was willing to tell him to go talk. And that helped them out. It's really easy when you're doing things sneaky behind the backs of people, like Henry Ruth meeting with John Doerr in private for months prior to grand jury testimony getting moved from Judge Sirica's court, where they're meeting with him in private too, by the way, to the House committee, and these politicians don't know anything about it. You can't cover that up today, because the evidence, the tapes, the materials, the papers, they're in the public domain. They've been there since 2013. And I am happy that this podcast is going to start showing them to you. And we hope you'll continue to tune in here on the 50th anniversary of the end of Watergate and the Nixon administration. And hopefully, when we're done, you'll feel as I do, that this is one of the great wrongs of history. And we need to correct it so that Richard Nixon can have his place with Washington, Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, the four greatest presidents in American history. Thank you.